Welcome to episode 66 of
Brutal Battle.
Doing a epic grandiose voice because this is, in a sense, will be an epic and grandiose episode. We have Sean Creel next to me on the comfy Brutal Battle patented couch.
Hello, hello.
Do you like the couch? I made it myself.
This is nice.
No, I didn't make it myself. I can't upholster or anything, you know? I wish I could. That'd be cool. This is an epic episode because I sent a text message to Sean a few days ago. And what was that text message?
It was basically a picture and a little caption that said, "So you're coming over to record on Friday, right?"
And it was not a dick pic.
That's so true. You know. Absolutely. But it was another offer I could not refuse.
Yes. It was a picture of a can of Heady Topper by Alchemist Brewing and a bottle of Pliny the Elder by Russian River Brewing. So this is going to be East versus West comparison of the biggest of the double IPAs out there.
I'm looking forward to it. Have you ever had either one of these before?
Neither. Never had them. Never even seen them in person. Never touched a bottle or can. As we all know, Heady Topper comes in a 16-ounce can, and Pliny the Elder comes in a... Is it a 16-ounce bottle?
I think it's like 16.9.
Yeah,
it's
something like that.
It's a larger format bottle.
I do have to give a big shout out to a guy named Mike Chopko. I had done a trade through Beer Advocate with Mike, and we set up the trade. I was trading him some On the Wings of Armageddon by DC Brow for the Heady Topper. And then I had mentioned the podcast, and as a bonus in the package he sent me, he sent me a Pliny the Elder so that as he said, we could do a comparison of East versus West double IPAs.
That was extremely generous, and I'm very thankful as well.
Yeah. So you have benefited already, Sean, from Mike. So Mike Chopko, awesome guy. Thank you so much. Hell of a dude right there.
Absolutely.
Hell of a dude. And I'm putting together a box that should be good for you in return, sir. All right. So... Ooh, let's do the hop knowledge first because we don't want to forget that. I'm getting all tingly and excited because I see these two epic, from what I hear, epic double IPAs in front of me. The hop for today, hop knowledge. Stu, I got you covered. Glacier Hop is what we're doing today. The origin is the United States. Description, it is citrusy with herbal and woody notes. The details on it was released in 2000. What's with this today? Used primarily for aroma, but can provide balanced bitterness. Uses bitterness, flavor, and aroma. Substitutions for this one: Fuggle, Tettnanger, as well as Willamette hops.
I'm sure glad somebody's reading these hop guides that we put up there.
Hey man, I want to make sure that every area of your I'm not single-handedly making sure every area of your website's used, but that area is being used
by me. All
right,
there we go.
Glacier Hops, two examples I found. Tampa Bay Brewing's Moose Killer Barley Wine. Interesting name because they don't have any moose or meese down there.
Yeah, I don't think there's anywhere near Florida.
And Big Boss Brewing's Pale Ale. So there you have it, two prime examples of Glacier Hops. I haven't heard of either of those. Hopefully someone out there has. And I try to pick ones that aren't the same brewery all the time, you know.
Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm trying to hit kind of all the demographics. So someone out there may have heard of those breweries, so or at least one. I mean, I knew about the brewery in Tampa Bay, but I heard they're not so good. But, you know.
Never had anything from either of those breweries. So.
Yeah, me neither. So we have the Pliny the Elder in front of us, as well as the Heady Topper. We don't know which one's in which glass, though. Although we know what they are, we want to taste them blind. So we don't know which one we're going to be tasting. And then Rebecca gave us some pieces of paper that'll tell us which one's which after we make our decision on which we think is the best. Which I'm pretty excited to find out because I think you and I are both very much into IPAs, but I think we're into different types of IPAs. I like tons and tons and tons of citrus, and I know that you are cool with a lot of pine in IPAs as well.
To some degree. I don't like the harsh, like the fresh pine needle kind of pine.
Okay.
But I do like that the sappy, kind of the sweeter characteristic, kind of mixed with a little bit of a caramel body to it. So I'm probably more towards the East Coast IPAs, I think, for the most part.
Yeah, I'm typically, when it comes to IPAs, more in the West Coast camp. So it'll be interesting for me to see if I identify with the Pliny more than the Heady Topper. But as people probably know, if you're totally in the know as far as the craft beer community goes, these two beers are like top 10 as far as a lot of people's lists in the United States in the craft beer industry.
I've got a little bit of a confession. I've had Pliny before.
Oh,
but I have no idea what it tastes like.
Okay.
I was at a wedding. Two of my friends were getting married, and I'd thrown my back out the day before. So to get through the wedding, I was drinking bourbon on the rocks all day.
Oof.
And after about 4 or 5 hours of straight bourbon, I found myself at a bar that had Pliny on tap, and I knew it was an awful idea, but I had to order it.
Well, I mean, just for the experience, which you didn't remember.
I couldn't pick up on any taste at that point in the night, so.
Well, the back is a fickle thing, so go ahead and, if you want to, you could recline yourself and relax.
Relax a little bit for this
luxurious
one.
Brutal Battle couch. I'm going to have it covered in suede soon.
All right.
No, I'm not. And hopefully it won't be covered in beer soon. We'll find out.
I'll do my best.
All right, well, let's hop right into it. We're going to refer to these beers as Beer A and Beer B, and this, just so the listeners know, is not the only tasting for this episode we're doing. We are still doing the normal mystery tasting, which those beers...
Blind.
Yeah, also completely blind. Everything's blind. The beers for the mystery tasting later are the only ones that are going to be eligible to duke it out for Master Brewer Lord. The Heady and the Pliny... cannot because, well, because of a few reasons. One, Rebecca did not get the beers. They were sent to me in a trade, so I already knew what they were. We know what we're going to be tasting, so there's too much bias involved.
Yeah, there's definitely, I'm sure there's a little bit of bias going in here, no matter how much we try to.
Although I will say that if Russian River and or Alchemist Brewing want to send these beers or any of their beers to us, they can send them to Rebecca and we can have them as official entrants into the tournament. So, hint, hint, wink, wink, you know. Okay, so Beer A is very, very see-through. Well, I mean, we can talk about the coloration of both of them.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're both kind of an amber, towards a deep amber color. I think B is probably a little bit darker, but...
it's hazy.
Yeah, it's very hazy. There's, I mean, can't really see... there's light coming through, but you can't really make out any shapes or anything through the other side.
Yeah, you know, you put that right up to your eyeball and you're blinded. You're not seeing anything through that one. And A, I mean, it's just super, super see-through. I mean, it's so crystal clear. So these are two very different appearances. I will also say that A, the clearer one, has a much thicker head to it, which is interesting to me. Let's go ahead and start with the aroma on A.
All right.
Oh my God. It smells like tons of hops.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of hop character coming through there.
Okay. Right. So citrusy, like beautiful orange citrus, but there's also like a bubblegum note to it.
I get something a little sweeter in there. I don't know if I'm not picking up it as bubblegum for me, but maybe like a little bit of tropical fruit.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe some papaya?
Yeah, I could see that.
Oh, man, that is... it's so citrusy, but there's such, like, a sweetness with it, too. Yeah. Like, you get a little bit of, like, a tartness with the citrusy notes, but you get a lot of sweetness, too.
I still get a little bit of that grassy, almost pine characteristic, but it's on the... It's definitely covered up by a lot of fruit.
God, it smells intoxicating. It really does.
It's a really full aroma coming out of this glass, and it's a lot of complexity in there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like a tropical gumball, kind of.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm inclined to try this. Mmm.
That's really good.
Mmm. Yes, it is.
It finishes kind of dry, but there's...
yeah, it does.
There's definitely some sweetness in there to balance out the bitterness. It's just not sticky and lingering.
Yeah, and it is quite dry on the end, and it's very effervescent when it first hits your tongue. That's one of the big things I was struck with on this. So there's like, up front, there's a lot of citrus. And then it kind of like the bitterness takes over a little bit. So lingering on my tongue is a little bit of maybe like an orange peel type flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But in a very pleasant way. I mean, the bitterness is not out of kilter.
No. Mm. And I mean, I think both of these beers are about 8% too.
Mm-hmm.
But this
doesn't taste like it.
It doesn't, yeah. The alcohol is barely there, if at all. And it's, for being a bigger beer like that, it's still extremely easy to drink just because of how balanced it is.
It's really clean.
Mm-hmm.
It just tastes like ridiculously clean. I don't know how else to describe that. Mm. It's got a little bit of a resiny stickiness at the end, but nothing too intense. It's just kind of like a quick hint of that.
Mm-hmm. You can see that, yeah. Trying to figure out if I still pick up on the tropical notes in the flavor as much as I get them, a lot more in the aroma, I think.
I get it slightly, but it's just kind of like, it's, once again, it's kind of just like a flash of it. It's just kind of like there and gone. Make sure I fully cleanse my palate in between. All right, well, let's start smelling beer B.
Ooh, I'm going to give it a swirl, get some foam built back up on it.
Ooh, this is almost like lemony in the nose.
Yeah.
Very odd. God, that's like very lemony. It's like, but there's some sugariness to it too.
It's not like sour lemon though, but it's very much, it's almost like a sugared lemon. Like,
yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's very.
I get some sweeter malt notes coming through in this one too.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. It just smells like it's going to be tasting like some sort of, like, slightly tart juice. It's, like, going to be hop juice, you know? Which, by the way, there's a beer called Hop Juice by Left Coast. I had it recently, and I don't know if it was an old bottle or not, but it was not very good.
Oh, okay.
I did not care for it.
I've had some stuff by them that I like. They make a pretty good stout.
Interestingly enough, the sweetness I'm now getting in the aroma of this is kind of like Smarties. So it's kind of like lemons and Smarties. But it smells nice.
I'm picking up on a lot of grapefruit too, but it's not that tart, you know, sour grapefruit or lemon. It's very much a citrusy characteristic. But
it's not like an in your face.
Distinctly those fruits.
It's not in your face robust grapefruit. A little more subdued, maybe like candied grapefruit kind of. If that even exists. I would assume candied grapefruit would smell like. All right. Let's sniff this one. Let's cheers.
All right.
Ah, good stuff. Mm. Hmm.
That's, yeah, I really.
I get it.
I think that was my favorite. Sorry, yeah.
A little speechless. I get a significant sweetness on that.
Yeah, there is a lot of caramelized malts coming through there.
Yeah.
Lots of juicy sweet fruits. You know, it's there for the most part. I think it's citrusy fruits, but there is a lot of sweetness coming from.
That's good, and it's got a bit of a bitterness on the finish, but it's actually a little less bitterness than the first beer. I feel like the first beer we tried has a little more bitterness lingering on it.
I think that's the extra caramel malts that are coming through and balancing that out. I'm not sure what the IBUs technically are on both of these. I feel like, from what I remember, I think they're similar. But yeah, I definitely get less bitterness lingering on my tongue afterwards.
Mm. Now, these are both really nice. I'm enjoying both of these. And yeah, it's so interesting because the first one is significantly crisper in its initial taste. The second one, B, is kind of, I'm trying to think about the best way to put it. It's got more of like a sweetness up front than like a fresh, clean flavor. Mm-hmm. It definitely seems like it's a cloudier beer.
The A to me is very much just fruity hops in the right. flavor early on. Like you said, it's clean. It finishes very nice and just kind of wanders away and lets you're ready for another sip.
Yeah.
B definitely lingers, but I'm loving every bit that's lingering, so.
You want it all. Mm. It's thick. Mm-hmm. The mouthfeel is a lot thicker on the
Absolutely.
Second beer.
Yeah.
A lot thicker. It really just coats your entire mouth. And, I don't know, I feel like that's kind of really adding to the experience of the beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's how I like double IPAs and just, like, really sticky, interesting IPAs in general, is that it's almost like I have to chew it a little bit. You know, I want, like, a hearty IPA, you know? I want to feel like some of the hops have to be chewed.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely with that one. I mean, you almost feel like you're pushing your tongue through the beer as you're sipping it.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, when it settles, there's a bitterness on the end, but it's not a ton. And now that I'm smelling the first one again, I get a little bit of like a dankness on the nose, like a little bit of what people would say is like kind of a skunk type smell, like skunk weed type smell to it. But not skunky smelling in a bad way. Not like it's a bad beer, just like skunky type hops. So
definitely two completely different approaches to the same style of beer. I mean, beer A is, you know, like we've been saying, it's just, it's bitter and bold up front, and then it just, you know, it kind of wipes away and it's clean finish. B is definitely a much more mild approach, less bitterness in the beginning. It's just very well balanced with all the caramel malts that are in there, a little more body, and it sticks around.
Yeah. I like both of these beers. I really do. I'm going to lean towards the second one, B. You know, it's got this kind of, it's thicker, it's more sticky. I feel like the finish is a little more what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I think B is a better beer. I really just think it's, for my palate, it is a better beer. What's your thought?
I mean, looking at the two beers, from what I know about the two beers, I think I can safely guess which is which at this point. But I will say that, you know, you can't go wrong with either one of these. And
yeah, I agree with that.
A, to me, I think there's a lot of other breweries that have started to try and copy that and are also doing it well, not necessarily to this level. So there's, in my recent memory, I've had a lot of beers that are similar takes on that. For B, I don't think I've had a beer with that much body to it, like that style of an IPA done that well before, or anywhere close to it. I think that's far, far above anything else I've had with of that style of a, you know, I think it's safe to call the East Coast version of a double IPA.
And based on what you're saying, I think I have had a lot of beers that have kind of tasted like the first one, because I think, you know, I'm gonna guess, I do think the first one probably is the Pliny, and I think I've had a lot of beers that are kind of like that, and like you said, a lot of people trying to kind of copy the style, copy its success.
It's the first double IPA really to onto the market, pretty much the one that kind of created the style, so everybody was kind of going off of that as they're building their own. Really well done. I mean, I can't say enough about the beer, how balanced it is, and how easy it is to drink for that big of a beer.
Well, let me just say, I'm looking at the note that Rebecca handed me, and our suppositions are correct that the first one was Pliny the Elder, and the second one is Heady Topper. And I'm gonna be honest, as far as Heady Topper goes, I think it's unique to beers I've tasted. I don't think I've ever had a beer that has the same flavor profile as the Heady Topper does.
Yeah.
Very unique for me. But like I said, like the Pliny, I've had beers that are like it, and probably because, like you were saying, Sean, people are trying to copy that. It'll be interesting. I mean, maybe it already exists, but is anyone trying to basically copy what Heady Topper's like?
I don't know. This to me is a standout beer. I'm trying to think of a comparison, and at this point I'm kind of drawing at straws a little bit. I think you know, one of the things about this beer is, like, on the can, I know it says enjoy from the can, right? They don't want you to look at it because it's such a cloudy, thick beer, and obviously we've got them in glasses here. We're taking in the whole experience looking at it as well, and for a lot of people that cloudiness, I guess, is off-putting. They want that crystal clear characteristic of, you know, like the Pliny has. To me, the appearance doesn't matter to me as much. But the other thing is, it's not really like there's anything floating around that's weird and off-putting. It's just a cloudy, harder to see through beer.
Yeah.
And I think that is what really I think that's what adds to the thickness of the mouthfeel, and that really adds to the experience of the beer itself. So I think a lot of other breweries trying to do so much to filter their beers and get them so clean kind of takes away from one of the things that I like best about this beer, the mouthfeel of it.
You know, I'm going to say that the best way to enjoy these beers is the way we're doing it right now, going between both of them, because they're both really good and they're both unique. You know, they're their own mm-hmm. animal when you're comparing the two. And just going between the two of them, the flavors are different.
The differences really jump out and shine.
Yeah, and it's just, it's pleasing. You know, like, ooh, this is good, and this is good in a different way.
Wow.
So, yeah. Right. Success.
So it's all downhill from here.
Yeah. Well, we do have two mystery beers, and who knows, maybe they'll live up to these. I don't know. You never know. But as far as, like, popularity of Russian River and Alchemist go, you know, I know for the longest time, Alchemist had only been brewing Heady Topper because of the overwhelming popularity. They had to end up closing down there. Was it a brew pub?
They had a couple issues. They used to brew multiple varieties of beer, but I think it was Storm, I want to say Irene, came up the East Coast and flooded out Vermont. I'm pretty sure it flooded their brew pub right after they installed their new canning line. So it was, you know, that definitely set them back a little bit, and they had to open up a new shop as quickly as they could. And from what I understand, they started pushing out the Heady Topper again. I think the whole, everything that was going on with the storm, the rebuilding of the brewery, kind of brought some notoriety to the area, and that's really when Heady Topper really caught on and took off, and it was the only thing that they could manage to make.
So. Yeah. Well, I know that they've done some more beers recently. They released Focal Banger, Petite Mutant, and Beelzebub. Haven't had them, don't know what styles they are yet because it's really new.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested to get my hands on some. Thank you so much, Mike Chopko, for making this possible. This has been an awesome taste. I did want to say one thing about Russian River, though. Their popularity is also gigantic, and a lot of their beers sell out very, very fast. I knew there was an instance in 2013 at one point where they ran out of all their beers at their brew pub, and then they had to have someone go down to the brewery to try and get some more beer, and they didn't have any that they could send.
Wow.
So their brew pub was totally out of beer at some point, which really speaks to the ridiculous popularity around Russian River. But, you know, when you think about it, they're a pioneer in a lot of different styles of beer. Like, you know, you're saying, like, the one of the first DIPAs out there. And then also, they really put sours on the map.
Yeah, they were one of the, you know, I mean, there's other breweries around the world, I guess, that were doing sours before them. But as far as in the U.S. goes, they were ahead of the game. Mm-hmm. Vinny, the owner, the brewmaster out there, he's pretty much like, I mean, he's a champ at introducing new styles at this point, you know. That's the other thing, too. When a brewery like that runs out of beer, it takes a while to get back up and going, too, because their beers take a long time to make. With doing the sour beers like that.
Aging in barrels and adding all sorts of extra stuff.
Some of those beers can take years of sitting in those barrels before they're ready. So.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But one of the things I don't understand, but I'm thankful for, about Russian River is the fact that they don't distribute anywhere like Midwest or East Coast except in Philadelphia. It's just like,
it's a little dot.
They're all West Coast and then boom, Philadelphia. Which I don't understand it because why? Like, it doesn't make sense. But I'm very thankful for it because Philadelphia is not too far from us, and my wife's younger sister was able to go up there and pick up some Russian River for me.
Nice.
So
It's something. There's a distributor that's basically bringing a whole bunch of beers from Northern California out to Philadelphia. I'm not.
Deschutes is there.
Yeah,
and they're not anywhere else on the East Coast.
I'm not sure what distribution company it is that's bringing it in, but I think that combined with some of the different laws in Pennsylvania, and the tremendous popularity of craft beer in Philadelphia, make it kind of a perfect storm to be able to ship stuff across country like that. And
agreed.
Keep it limited in that one central location, and then kind of builds up the hype too around the city of Philadelphia with craft beer.
Very cool. Well, did you have anything else you wanted to say about the Heady or the Pliny or Russian River Alchemist?
Do I have more?
Yeah. there is some more of each in the bottle and the can. I also have three more cans of Heady Topper that are not open, but those will be special occasion things.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I'll let you hold on to those. So.
But I will say one more thing. Russian River and Alchemist Brewing. Send me some beers. We will put them in the tournament, and you guys can have a legitimate shot to earn the title Master Broverlord for one of your beers. So that's just my little plug there, you know. All right, well, let's move to beers that are hopefully not big disappointments. The mystery beers are now in front of us. They look very, very different. A is like a brown, like a reddish brown coloration.
Yeah, like a dark, well, maybe like a deep copper color kind of.
Yeah, and it's a little hazy. You can kind of see through it.
A little bit. I can make out shapes. I definitely couldn't read anything this one. Like, I can barely read the name of the brewery that's on the glass on the other side here.
Stark comparison, B, I can't see anything. It's very, very dark. It's got a tan head to it. Looks like it's probably, you know, porter stout, something like that. Wow. Very roasty.
B is really dark. I mean, even if you hold that right up in front of the light, there's not a bit coming through there. That's pretty impressive. Even, I mean, most like dark beers, you know, like black beers are still, if you turn them at an angle, you can get the right spot. You get a little bit of reddish colors coming through. I mean, this is completely black.
Well, when Rebecca put these beers in front of us, she said, I know which one's my favorite. And I think just looking at them, I can tell which one's probably her favorite. It would be B because she really likes stouts a lot. Okay. So I'm assuming it's in that vein. But who knows? We might be surprised. So let's go ahead and sniff on A, see what that's smelling like. My sniffer's a little messed up. Honey. It smells like honey.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Not in a good way. Well, I mean, it does smell like local raw honey, which I've been eating a lot of local raw honey to try and solve the whole allergy problem naturally.
It's kind of got like a sweet, you know, this sweet malt characteristic coming through here. I don't know, maybe for my nose, a little too sweet, a little, you know, like you said, raw honey. I just get this kind of raw sweetness that, it's almost like a fake sugar.
Yeah, I'm not getting much of anything else other than that one scent. It's very one note to me. I mean, I get a little bit of a hop presence to it.
Maybe a little floral or something. I'm not really getting any citrus notes or any pine or anything like that.
It's even hard to get that hop note in the scent. God, that's tough.
Yeah, to me, this is pretty simple aroma. It's, for the most part, just that caramelized, you know, that sweet malt base.
Well, I'm hoping that the flavor's not one note, but we'll see. Let's give it a shot here. Sunflower seeds. The husks. Sunflower seed husks.
Yeah. I can see that.
Mm.
It starts off super sweet again, just like in the aroma. But then as it finishes out, the malt kind of transitions into this real dry, like you were saying, sunflower seeds.
Yeah, very dry. This is a very typical flavor that I've tasted before in beers that I just think suck. If people go back and listen to a bunch of past episodes, just keep going all the way back. Re-listen to everything, honestly. You'll hear me describe this, like the honey scent, and then a lot of times that sunflower seed husk flavor coming through in it, and it's just not so hot.
So I don't know if, you know, I don't necessarily not like this beer. The aroma to me was a little off-putting. There's something a little harsh in there that it's just like raw sweetness. It's just, it needs something to balance it out a little bit. In the flavor though, this is a nice, easy drinking. It's real light bodied. It's nothing crazy. There's nothing spectacular about it, but I actually kind of enjoy the way you get that sweetness up front, but then it finishes dry, so it's not heavy. So you get that, if you're into that sweeter malt flavor, you can take a sip of it, and then it keeps you coming back for another sip if you're into that flavor.
I see where you're coming with that. Although I would say this, for me, this beer can suck it, and whoever brewed it can suck it too, because I hate this beer. I think
it is still, I mean, even in the flavor, it's if you want to say two notes, yeah. There's not a whole lot of variation in the characteristics here. It's pretty simple. I think it could be a good beginner beer.
I hope,
or a good session beer if you're just sitting down and have a few beers with friends and.
Yeah, I would be interested to see who the brewery is going to end up being for this beer, because if it's a brewery that makes some good stuff I know of, I would say stop brewing this and use that time with your equipment to make something good that you make. But it could very well be a brewery that's just, I've never had anything good by them. So then I just would be like, oh, okay, well, that's just how that is.
I'm starting to pick up on a little something extra, that last tip that I got there. Almost like an English ale yeast kind of character to it. I get a little bit of an earthiness to it.
A little breadiness to it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that. It's just not my thing. I just, no. Not
interested. That, I could see that being like an English mild or something.
Yeah, like, I agree with you like on that. So. It's not my style. Well, let's start smelling B, which looks more like something I'll enjoy.
B smells fantastic.
This is just like coffee, like espresso. I mean, jeez.
Espresso with maybe melted milk chocolate mixed in.
And as I'm swirling it, it's producing more head. And that head is building up. So ridiculously dark.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've seen a head that dark before.
It's that is really dark foam, just the tiniest little bubbles.
I get a banana smell to it, though, too.
I'm not picking up on that.
It's hell of a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
And then on the end, it's kind of finishing a little banana-y to me.
I'm loving that coffee aroma. I mean, that's just like it's not like that green coffee aroma. Like, that is like brewed espresso. Beautiful. Wake me up in the morning with a glass of this, and it's going to be a good day.
Get a little chocolate to it, too. It's like chocolate, banana, coffee. Which sounds weird.
Yeah, that's about it. You know, it's a little bit of roast, but a little bit of sweetness in there, too.
I'm trying said beer. Man, that coffee is nice in there. It's very present.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as you would expect from the aroma. The aroma is so strong. If you're not getting this level of flavor of coffee in it, then it's just ridiculous.
Very dry. Mm-hmm. Extremely dry on the finish. It just, you know, there's a lot of body to it. You can feel it. It's a thick beer, but then that roastiness really kicks in at the end, and it just dries my whole mouth up.
And I think that dryness is part of what's facilitating a bit of a banana-y note to me.
Okay.
I don't know. And it's kind of like, okay, maybe it's not fully like the banana fruit, but maybe like the strings, those tannic strings that get stuck on the banana that come off of the peel. Because in the conjunction with the dryness.
To me tonight, I'm just picking up on, I mean, definitely that coffee. The same thing like in the aroma. I mean, that's a creamy, just like an espresso, like, you know, like a espresso mixed with a little bit of milk, maybe. There's definitely a sweeter note to it. A little bit of the chocolate in there, too. I'm picking up on a little bit of alcohol.
Yeah, there's in the flavor. There's kind of significant astringency to it, in my opinion.
I mean, yeah.
My nose is starting to close up now because I've been sniffing so much. It's just like, ah.
To me, it's not too strong, but also I drank my double IPAs pretty quick there. So
yeah,
I see you still have you saved a little bit of those.
Yeah, I'm gonna savor a little bit, even though we have a little extra upstairs, which I'm sure we'll hit up after this. All right, do you have in mind what you're thinking for these two beers?
I gotta go back and taste them again here.
Okay, yeah, probably a good idea. Well, I think everyone knows I'm not feeling A. But I might as well just give it another shake.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the alcohol is coming through a little bit stronger now, that last sip for B.
Yeah, it's as you're taking sips, it seems to be compounding on your palate. I just,
I need
it's so weird. I have this banana-iness to it. It's so weird.
I forgot to rinse before going from B to A, and A was, I was almost like I was drinking water. Like I couldn't taste anything but what was in B.
A's not okay. I need to make a final determination on A here.
A, all right. So yeah, that I think that English kind of that English yeast is coming out a little stronger in it for me now. There's still just too much to me. There's what I think are crystal malts. Just this unfermentable sugar that's just sweetness that's sitting in that beer that I feel like you can get that flavor without that much sweetness up front. So I feel like that's just, I don't know. It's not hitting my palate right. I don't think there's any... I think you could have maybe gotten a little bit less remaining sugar in the final product. When
okay.
I think it would have been a little bit better beer, but...
Would you like to take the lead on rating A?
I'd probably go with a 3 on A.
3? You know, I'm sorry. I gotta go with a 1 on it. dang. Oh, God. Okay, no. I'll go a 2 because... You know, I set a 1, and then I start thinking about all the other beers I've given 1s to. And I think I could drink this over some of those beers, like the New Planet.
I think a 1 is undrinkable.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. This isn't undrinkable, it's just close to it for me. There's so, 2.
There's just nothing stand out to me. It's easy to drink, and if you like those flavors, then you might enjoy this beer as an easy drinking beer on a night out, but there's nothing over the top. That makes it stand out from anything else.
And what, sir, would you give B? I'm getting a saltiness now on B.
I like B a lot. I have no idea what this beer is.
Yeah, me neither. It's a little confusing. Because I'm getting banana, I'm getting saltiness, I'm getting... I mean, obviously the coffee's always there, but... And some chocolate.
I am getting a little bit of the saltiness now, that umami.
Which, honestly, I was a little disappointed with the banana-y notes I was getting because it was actually starting to wear on me.
Okay.
And also with the higher alcohol content that we started really tasting in there. But now that I'm getting the salinity in there, it's kind of nice.
That I was never picking up. I'm just not getting that banana. I don't know. The alcohol is coming out a little bit stronger to me now. I was leaning towards a pretty high score for this one. I think the alcohol is going to pull me back down a little bit. I wanted to say 7 off the bat, smelling this beer and my first sip. I'm kind of between a 5 and a 6. I'm trying to think. I don't know.
I'll let you know what I'm going to do. I'm going 4.
Okay.
It is good. It is, you know, something I could definitely drink again. Obviously a lot more than A. But there are a lot of flaws for my palate for this beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll probably go 5.
Go 5.
I think that's a good score. I think it's a really good beer. I think there's definitely places, at least for, you know, for my view, I think that there are things that I could see if I was designing it, I would have changed a couple different things in it, but
yes. And if I knew how to do such things,
yeah,
I would too. All right. Well, B is the obvious winner of this episode with an overall 4.5, A loser with an overall 2.5. Neither of them, obviously.
I didn't even see you pull out the abacus today.
No, yeah, I know. I didn't have to because 2 people is easy to calculate, you know. Obviously, neither of these beers are contending for Master Broverlord. Standing atop the hill, shiny in its nice bottle, still is Racer 5 IPA by Bear Republic. So, still the Master Broverlord.
It's a good beer.
So we'll reveal A first. Do you have any guesses on what A might be, where it might be from?
Honestly, I don't know either one of these beers. I haven't tasted. It's been a while since I've tasted anything on either one of these spectrums.
Okay. So I'm gonna guess that A is some kind of brewery I'm typically not into. Something in the vein of like a Shipyard Saranac type dealio, but not them. Someone else.
You know what? Actually, I could see, I've had a couple Shipyards that kind of gave me that English ale characteristic. Their Chamberlain Pale Ale. Get that, a lot of sweetness up front. without a whole lot of other characters coming through, but I'm not really sure.
I just took a sip of Pliny. That's good. All right, so A with an overall 2.5 is... Oh, Terrapin Brewing. Ah, Terrapin. Tree Hugger Ale. Let me see if there's any like real info on this. Terrapin, as everyone will know, we've had them on before, but they're from Athens, Georgia. It says, brewed for the nature lover in all of us, our Tree Hugger Ale is blossoming with flavor. Not really. Behold the amber color of this alt-centric ale and celebrate the majestic balance of both hops and malt. This beer will grow on you. It does not. But it says there's a little emblem Dogwood Alliance on here, so I assume that maybe there's some sort of proceeds going to some sort of tree conversation. No. Conservation
group. Do they have a date on the side there?
Oh, 2013 November.
Okay.
First week of November. They even have a week in here. The first week of November in 2013, so it's not that old.
So we're drinking that with, I guess, end of March right now for this recording, so.
I've had good things by Terrapin. Terrapin, okay, so I will tell you then. Stop using your time with your equipment to make this beer and focus on the better stuff. Like, I don't know, Big Hoppy Monster, you know, something like that.
I'm not picking up on, you know, they talk about this being an alt beer. Definitely you're going to get the malt there, but they talk about being able to pick up on hops as well. And
there's not much.
Not really picking up on any hops in this beer at all. It's just sweet, you know, that caramelized malt.
Yep.
That's about all I'm getting through there.
5.1% alcohol in that one. Tastes about appropriate. We weren't really picking up much astringency, so that's fine.
I'm excited to see what this one is.
Any ideas on B?
Not really.
I want to say, I don't know. I feel something on a scale of like a rogue brewery, but not rogue. I don't know.
You see, this it's been a long time since I've had it, but Dominion makes, I think they make a coffee stout.
Yeah, Morning Glory, which we've had on the show before.
Okay.
And was a serious contender for.
I'm thinking of something else. I don't think this is Morning Glory. I think there's. I don't know. I'm drunk. Well, I'm just pulling things out of the air now.
You know, it's a little peanut buttery to me. It just keeps changing.
Keeps morphing.
It's like a friggin' chameleon beer. All right. Well, be the winner of this episode with a 4.5 is. Oh, also Terrapin Brewing.
Wow.
It's their Wake and Bake Coffee Oatmeal Imperial Stout.
Okay.
Stout with coffee added. Well, obviously, we hit the coffee. The ABV on this is 9.4. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, you can taste it.
I was picking up on it coming along there, but I think it's a good beer.
What it says on it is, two Athens, Georgia companies, Terrapin and Jittery Joe's, have teamed up to create a unique blend of coffee used to produce this robust and flavorful beer. So when it comes to a morning beverage, why not beer? Jittery Joe's obviously is a coffee company from that area.
I think that's pretty cool getting both of these from the same company on here.
Yeah.
Where, you know, neither one of us are really big fans of the first one, but the second one, I thought that was a pretty good beer. That's definitely one I'll seek out and try and buy again.
I feel this perfectly illustrates how, you know, we can have a beer from a brewery on here that we think is really not so hot, and that doesn't mean that brewery's not good, because you could later have one that is quite good, and this is a prime example of that. The Tree Hugger, but the Wake and Bake, pretty good.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's part of breweries trying to make stuff across the spectrum for a variety of different tasters, finding something for each person, so...
That's kind of what you have to do. I mean, there are a lot of breweries out there that, you know, I'm not feeling like they're blondes and they're, you know, wheat beers, but I understand they're there because there's a demographic for it. So, all good.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, my favorite beers are the Pliny and the Heady Topper.
those were fantastic. That was really good. Thanks again for sending those out this way. And
Mike Chopko, you the man.
Absolutely, Mike. And thank you for inviting me over to partake.
No problem. We love Brewkeep here. I'm actually drinking out of one of the Brewkeep glasses currently, so you know. I feel like I should apologize to Terrapin though, because we kind of we overshadowed them by having Pliny and Heady in this.
It was a tough spot to follow, you know. But
So sorry, Terrapin. So to make up for it, I will allow you to ship beer to me to put into the
That's
tournament.
Very kind of you.
It is very kind of me. I'm a good person like that.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and please never forget, keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.